First of all, thanks for joining us, as you always do on Thursdays. We appreciate it. And I wonder, because obviously the immediate emotion on Monday was what it was. I know some people are still there, and I don't blame you. That was a terrible performance from your football team. But a few days removed and obviously having a chance to talk to some of these guys and watch it back and read about it and all that kind of stuff, where are you at now compared to where maybe you were on Sunday afternoon?
I think the most shocking thing that happened Sunday, at least that was visible to the fans watching in the stadium and at home, was the mobility of Kirk Cousins and that being a big question mark that emerged during the game because they were essentially in shotgun or pistol the entire game, except for two snaps, which was a spike and a fourth down, presenting quarterback sneak. And so I would say that in the days since then, I've kind of cooled on that being something that's necessarily holding this team back, that held the team back offensively, at least on Sunday, because I think you can actually, you can run an offense like that, but there was just so many errors from the team. And sometimes in these games, when there are these kinds of, storylines on the side and things that I'm sure genuinely did affect the game plan with regards to things like Kirk's, health and things like that, you do, I think, sometimes need to kind of refocus and go back to the nuts and bolts of what wins football games. And that is the boring things, which is like not committing penalties and winning the turnover battle. And I think if the Falcons, are better in the penalty area and win the turnover battle in that game, they probably win the game. It still may not have been pretty. And I still think that we would have had, questions about the offense if it worked the way that it did. But I think it's just, it's that mantra, it's coach speak, but it's probably true in this case, which is that it's never as good as it seems, and it's never as bad as it seems. It feels to me like that's kind of the consensus that's emerging in the wake of that. What was really, like you said, Andy, just a really hard-to-watch football game and nothing like what we expected.
JP, what were you more surprised about, the lack of running to the right or the lack of trying to get some help as far as the protection on the right side?
Yeah, I think it was the protection. I think it was what was surprising was to see just how much TJ Watt was able to impact that game. And there was not really an answer for it. Like they were trying to do a little bit of chipping. They were trying to go five wide to kind of spread them out and get the ball out of Kirk's hands early, which helped in some instances. I thought there were some kind of green shoots in terms of what the team was doing in the screen game. Bijan could have very well scored on a screen on that opening drive. If a block is held a little bit longer, that's just the way that screens work. And so I think you saw some things, but overall you just allowed TJ Watt to really wreck the game. That's the coming out of the words of Raheem Morris and what he said afterwards. That was their game plan, was to not let a lot of that happen. And of course he makes it happen. And so they've got to figure out some solutions to help, a guy like Caleb McGarry when he's in those situations, because this team will be going up against other premier pass rushers later on this season. Micah Parsons is one that comes to mind, who's kind of on that TJ Watt level. So they're going to have to figure out some things. And I think that's part of what comes with having a new coordinator is, the coaches are new to these players as well, and they may not have the greatest idea of like what their strengths and weaknesses are, especially when you don't get to see them in preseason against other starters, and they're just they're getting their first real kind of evidence as to what these players can do on Sunday. And so I think for that reason it'll be interesting to see how Zach Robinson responds, how some of the players respond, and how they kind of scheme up some things differently so they don't leave themselves so exposed.
Obviously the overall desire for Falcons fans Monday night, for the Falcons themselves Monday night, is just to be better in a lot of different ways. But when you're talking about like the specific keys that you're going to be looking for that will lead to that and that you're hoping get better from week one to week two, obviously the Zach Robinson part of it you just mentioned there, what are some of those things specifically that you're going to be watching for to be like, oh, that looks different and better. Okay, I see them doing this differently than they were against the Steelers. What are some of the specifics that you're going to be keyed in on?
Well, I think the most specific I can be is I'm looking for them to run one play action pass in this game.
Just give me one.
But the reason being is because, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this, like that's Kirk Cousins' MO. Like that's where he is succeeding in his career, beyond any other, in any other area. And not just Kirk Cousins, but I think when you look at this offensive line, like they're really benefited by the play action pass and helping protect. And it's because they've got that really good run game that opposing defenses have to be concerned about and they have to respect. And so if you're the Falcons, you gotta make sure that you're utilizing that respect that they give you by using the play action game to set up and help your offensive line. Because this offensive line, just statistically, has never been a good one in terms of just like protecting on natural dropbacks with no play action, because this offensive line was basically developed for the most part under Arthur Smith, who runs a very similar, you know, play action heavy scheme. And that's just kind of what they're used to. And so this was just a big departure from that. And I think that that is one of the things that's most shocking. And then to see that departure from what's typically been the game plan for the Falcons team, combined with then the result that you got out of that game plan, that's, I think, the thing that's most worrying and has fans kind of, you know, a little bit more skeptical and critical of Zach Robinson and the play calling. For as much as people had issues with the play calling under Arthur Smith, I think that, you know, the last thing I think any of us thought would happen is that those, that anxiety would be ratcheted up even more. But I just want to, I want to see more play action passing. And you're right, like running to that right side, you would think that that's where they potentially could have run right at TJ Watt to maybe slow him down a little bit so he wasn't jumping out of his stance quite so much. And you would think that, like, you know, that's where this team has had so much success in the past, running behind Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry, who are some of the best in the league at running that kind of wide zone scheme. And so I'm definitely looking to see if they do more of that in this one.
Joe, with all that being said, if they do, say, for instance, go back to and go and start doing what Kurt does well, under center, play action pass, I'm going to be frustrated as hell because I'm going to be like, why? What the hell's going on? Like, did you really have to see that debacle the week before to know? Because I'm not giving Zach Robinson a pass. You're the freaking offensive coordinator for an NFL football team. You don't have time to learn on the damn job. I'm sorry. So if he does go back to that, Joe, because what is your takeaway is from talking to them? And you, I know you don't know or whatever. Are they going to try to implement something, or is this what they are? Because if you listen to Rod talk, he's keeps saying this is basically because you told us
this is what we've been doing.
This is what
same
we've been
offense,
doing. So if this is what they've been doing, then why would they change it?
Yeah, a lot of coach speak. I don't foresee them just like, you know, going like, oh, well, let's get back under center in this game, because I personally do think that it is, you know, related to Kirk's rehab and injury and rehab. I mean, it's easy to forget that. What was it, like 9 months ago that he had surgery on a torn Achilles? Like, that is not that long ago. And so, you know, they've intentionally danced around that question that's been posed to them. Josh Kendall from The Athletic and myself were asking Raheem about that on Monday, and I would say that Raheem did not specifically address the question that was being asked to him, which was, can Kirk Cousins basically run anything that Zach wants to call? And you know, he said that he's done everything we've asked of him and, like, said all these other kind of flowery things, but was not specifically answering that question. So I think that this is going to be the scheme that the Falcons are running for the most part of this season. I think that you can probably expect to see a little bit of, like, tapering off into something that would be considered more normal, especially for Kirk Cousins and, like, a, you know, Sean McVay-inspired system to get back more under center as the season goes on. But I think for right now, we're going to see this team continue to run out of pistol and shotgun. We saw Aaron Rodgers, who's about 7 weeks ahead of Kirk Cousins in his Achilles thing. I mean, he's doing something similar in New York. There's a little bit more under center that he was running, but not a ton. They were still, it looked like, trying to optimize the offense in a way that helped the quarterback and what they're dealing with the injury. So I would not expect it to be a whole lot different. I just think that they just have to execute the system a little bit better. And, you know, the play calling has to be better. The quarterback has to be better. That's something that Raheem Morris said today. Like, make no bones about it. Kirk did not play well. Zach did not coach well. He didn't say that specifically, but he was, you know, very open in saying, like, we needed to be better as a coaching staff, and we will be able to get to talk to Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson after they finish practice today. So that will be you know, sound that's very well worth hearing.
No doubt. Yeah, that's definitely something folks are going to be looking forward to. Smoke and Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Falcons reporter, like you mentioned, going to get a chance to talk to the offensive coordinator and the quarterback later today. This is more of a speculation, like, football fan putting two and two together question more than anything, and Randy can chime in too because he might have an answer. If what you're saying is true, that this scheme is going to kind of be what they're doing, it's a departure from what Kirk Cousins has done, certainly. It's a departure from what's made him all this money, and I would assume incline them to give him all this money to sign him this contract. Like, is he the type of quarterback that can thrive in that type of system where it's going to be the majority of it in shotgun and pistol and that kind of stuff? Like, is that something that he's the type of guy to be able to accomplish?
We're going to find out, I guess, because we do not know. The guy had taken 10 snaps out of the pistol in his entire career. What was that average? Like, one pistol snap per year?
A half,
playing for Kirk, or even less? Okay. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be successful with it. But, you know, and if they're not, like, again, like, this goes back to something that we were talking about with the hiring of Zach Robinson, which was that it made a lot of sense to bring in somebody who learned under Sean McVay, as did Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. So it's kind of a, you know, they're all under the same kind of tree. Obviously, they do things a little differently, I'm sure, have different languages and things like that for what they call. But, like, we kind of, the understanding was that Kirk was going to be coming into a system that he would have had some knowledge of and familiarity with, and that was going to help this team click pretty quickly. And, you know, the plays are, you know, some of the, you know, passing concepts and routes and things are probably, you know, similar to what they've run, but it's different when you're doing it out of a different, you know, out of pistol. Like, you got to watch the football come in and catch the football before you can start making reads, and that's my, you know, that's probably not something that Kirk has done a whole lot of. Obviously, he's run out of shotgun stuff like every quarterback has, but it does just change things just ever so slightly, and you do wonder if that comfortability is making an impact. And even when you look at some of his mechanics, this is also something that's been pointed out, which is that he's always been that guy who stands in a stance in the shotgun with his right foot forward. And when we saw those parallel feet in that in the game, I think that just speaks to you know, how he's feeling on that Achilles and how they're, how the team's going to handle that. I don't know. You know, we'll see how things develop, but it already feels like a kind of a dicey situation, which you never want to be in after week one.
No doubt. There's a lot of stuff we're talking about that we didn't want to be talking about health-wise. I assume somebody will ask him about that too, right? Because I haven't heard him comment about that. So just the way he used to stand versus the way he was standing on Sunday. Yeah. I don't know if it's a big deal, but whatever. But I'd be interested to hear him comment on it.
I'll be asking for sure.
Great,
thanks.
For
Joe.
Sure,
yeah, Randy doesn't want you to.
No. I want you to.
I want to say something else about what Randy said. Like, in terms of it being like no free passes. Like, you're totally right. And, like, you know, this team didn't practice or play their starters in preseason, and with the idea that, like, being healthier coming into the season was going to be more optimal than getting those guys out there and maybe showing something. Maybe they didn't want to show the fact that they were going to be running out of pistol and shotgun the entire time. That's honestly my theory, but you're right. Like, you just don't get the benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, the game is the game, and it counts the same now in week one as it would in week 18. And so that's kind of a blemish on their record.
Yeah, there's no grading on a curve. We've graded on a curve the last couple of years with Desmond Ridder and Mariota and stuff like that. That's not what this is. Mm-hmm. Joe, we appreciate it.
JP.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.